have a question, Maharaj.
Yeah.
I think I understood what you were saying about Para Brahma not being able to hear our prayers, but given that avatars have noses and eyes and ears and things, is it proper for us to understand avatars as hearing prayers that we address to them?
Yes. What we call the personal God. We as persons can only pray to the personal God. So the idea is, it is not that there is a personal God. As long as we think I am a person, I have no option but cannot think of Brahman as, I can only think of Brahman as a person. So really speaking, I pray myself, I pray to myself, and I answer my own prayers. I think that is my understanding. Yeah. Yes.
But we have read that these emotions also make you weak. How to make these emotions make you strong? I mean, how to modify or use these emotions to make you strong and endure more, yet sympathize and
yeah, that is a very good question. In the beginning, it is unavoidable because we are trying to lead a sincere life. So we don't want to do any harm or anything to others. But there are others may not stop. They won't understand us. They will behave according to their nature. Then we will feel it. Why? First thing is, I am not doing any harm. Why the other person is harming me, trying to harm me? Second is, as I said, you feel more sympathy with others. And that sympathy is a double-edged sword. So when you are showing sympathy, it is more sympathy. But when somebody is trying to hurt you, it also hurts you more. This is a necessary stage, an inescapable stage, which we have to pass through. So what can help us? We must have what is called selective sensitivity. What is selective sensitivity? We should be very sensitive towards other people's happiness and suffering, but we should be less sensitive when others are trying to hurt us. How can we do that? In two ways. What is the two? Or one way only. Works in two ways. What is that? That when I am trying to do good because I see God in them. I am sympathetic because God is suffering. Dina Narayana, Daridra Narayana, Murkha Narayana, Stubborn Narayana. The other way is, if somebody is hurting me, nobody is hurting me, but God is trying to help me in becoming a little stronger. This is the only way, so far as I know. Ultimately, this is the only way. In either way, seeing God in others helps us a little.
That case, the delusion itself is based on reality. I know that the rope is a reality, snake is a reality. So the world must also be a reality because I'm superimposing it on Brahma.
Yes.
So then the world is a reality.
With a rider. The world as we see it right now is not a reality. But the world in its what is called essential aspect is a reality. Do you understand what I am talking about? Now let me give an illustration. You know, for children play with putty. Putty is, you know, kind of dough material by which you make snakes or horses or whatever you want. Huh? What is the essence? Putty is the essence. If it is a lump, it is a lump of putty. But the moment you make some shape, then it becomes a horse, man, bird or whatever. And then after some time you squash it. then it, where does it go back? Or go back is not a proper word. What remains? It was Patti even when it is appearing like a man, for example. So what is meant? Nama and Rupa are unreal because they are always changing. But as Patti, as essence, it is never changing. So the world as the essential existence of Brahman, that is absolutely real. But the world as nama rupa, that is not permanent. Are you able to follow what I am saying?
Yeah, theoretically, but nothing how I could implement that. Like for example, I see a tabla, I know. I see a name, I see a form, and that's how I enjoy it. Then how do I get rid of
through this kind of, you know, again and again thinking, discrimination, that the nama rupa in the form of tabla is unreal. Even if nobody destroys it, it won't stay. After some time it will go. If you don't kill somebody, you know, don't think that that person is going to live forever. He will die. Is this not a fact? Our grandparents, great-grandparents, they all died. And we also follow the same way. But to think that our death is a permanent non-existence, that would be a mistake. So where do we go back after death? We go back to our essence, from where that material which is appearing like a human being, like me and you, that material is not going. You know, you are a science student. So what does the scientist say about matter? Matter is indestructible. Nobody can make matter non-existent. But it can change shape. Now it appearing like a man, like appearing. Is it not true? If we can keep that fact in mind, then you know nothing, somebody insults me, okay, that is also temporary. And somebody praises me, that is also temporary. This is how we must have this double knowledge. What is this double knowledge? The essence is indestructible, unchanging, but the appearance is always changing, whether it is for, if you want to change or it, otherwise it will change by itself, after some time itself will change. If we have that kind of knowledge, then we won't undergo the what we call this joy and suffering and all those things. The essence is, by material you mean the nama rupa. Yes, that is absolutely true. That is Brahman, you know, the snake that we see in the rope is permanent. The snake comes and goes. So, before you may not be seeing the snake, but suddenly you see the snake. Then at that moment, as long as you see the snake, you will be suffering, frightened. So it's called suffering. But the moment you bring light, then that nama-rupa disappears. What do you see then? The rope. So have you destroyed the rope? What is it that is destroyed? It is the only snake. I mean, where is that snake, that idea? In the mind. So the reformation must come in the mind. So that is why I said it is called Leela. That you can understand better with this example. Your friend is acting in a drama and you know that he is acting, but his dress is different, his role is different. Maybe your friend is a wonderful person, but he has taken a bad man's character. So while you are enjoying his acting, you know this is only acting, this is not real. You know that essentially your friend is a good person. Then you know what happens? You enjoy his acting, at the same time you are not really frightened of his action, nor you rejoice. Even if he is playing a good role, you don't rejoice. You know it is only a temporary play acting. That is how Vedanta tries to help. That is why sadhana is necessary. difficult, you know, it is easy to read books, easy to have this kind of questions. Do sadhana, then problems will be solved.
But when you go back to India, and especially in villages, there's so much poverty and so much horrible things happening, you know, girls being burnt and getting married at age 11, getting widowed at age 20 and having HIV, and you know, and there are millions of those people. And then you go and you see, and you know, they don't even have food to eat, they die of starvation. How do we reconcile?
Yes. This is what the subject we were speaking throughout this Bhagavad Gita by other Swamis also. The whole point is, if you are not a sadhaka, does this situation change? Answer. If you are not a spiritual aspirant, does this situation change? If you are a sadhaka, does the situation change? So, in this world, always there will be good and evil, that is why it is called samsara. Nobody is ever going to change that fact. That is why Swami Vivekananda's one statement is, this world is like the curly tail of a dog. It always remains curly, you cannot straighten it. But then the question should be, what can I do? If you are thinking whether I can change the whole world, then you are most ignorant person. You can't change, because that is the nature of the world. But if you think, since it cannot be changed, why should I try to change? Then also you will not become a better person. So what happens when you try to straighten it, the curly tail of a dog, you become straightened. Your tail becomes straightened. Really.
But do those people have no chance in self-realization?
You know, if you want to hear the truth, remember another law, principle which Hinduism believes. What is that principle?
Karma.
The law of karma. If you really believe in it, who brought on that condition upon themselves? How do you know what they have done in the past? And how do you know they are not going to attain to happiness in the future? So, take the example of, in here in this America or UK, Europe, most of the people live off in a very good condition, much better than in India. But one fact you forget all the time, suffering can be at different levels. There is a physical suffering, there is also a mental suffering. Now, which one would you prefer? Given a choice, which one would you prefer? Do you think the people, all the American people, European people, so-called developed countries, are cutting capers with joy?
Oh, no. They are very miserable, and I mean, they are depressed and they are obese.
So, the point of...
Too much materialism.
Anyway, everything has a good side, everything has a bad side. What is the good side of being obese? One of our Swamis said it so wonderfully well. He said, you know, Americans are very lucky, because they don't need to go to any gymnasium to lift weights. They are lifting their own weights all the time. You know, it's fun apart, you know, happiness, and don't only see the misery. There are also people happy in India, there are also people happy in this country. Every country has equal amount of misery and happiness. You are not going to change. That is the first fact. The second fact is, anybody who is happy is never happy permanently, or anybody who is unhappy all the time. Third factor is, if somebody is suffering, then according to the law of karma, it was caused by their own selves. Somebody who misbehaved, how do you know that person is not born in India and suffering? So unless he suffers, he cannot be reformed. This is the third factor. Keeping these three factors, what should be our effort? So our effort should be, we must have sympathy. We should not bring on this, oh, it is your karma, I have nothing to do. I see misery, I want to become a better person, I want to purify my heart, I want to become less selfish, let me do what I can help. Knowing fully well that your help cannot really help, because helping is our part and we can do that, it is in our hands. But receiving the help is in the other person's hand. If he doesn't want to receive help, you know, this question came, that's why I am referring in the Time magazine, I think recently 2-3 weeks or a month back, there was an article. So why is this Africa in such a dire condition? We are pouring millions of dollars to these countries, and then we pointed out very wisely, we are actually addicting them. So that they are always looking, you know, like dogs looking for the master to throw food. So why should we work when we are getting aid from America? Why should we work? You are not really doing any good, because you are not helping them to stand on their own feet. If you can do that, we will give you help, so that you can help yourself, and after some time you can stand on your own feet, you will not need our help. That would be a good policy. But if you go on giving and helping, they will never become better people. So that was a very wonderful article. That's what Vedanta tells you, help the other person to help himself or herself. But that also should be done with a spiritual attitude. I am not really trying to help anybody. It is only for my good. Nobody can help anybody excepting the Divine Lord Himself. This is the answer. There is no point breaking our heads in seeing the misery. Misery will be there. Whether you see or you don't see, it will be there. And only the person who is suffering can help himself or herself. But you can help that person for your own good.
Misunderstanding in my mind, which is why I see a contradiction. The Lord says that the yogi or the Siddha Pratyaya Muni or whatever never does anything or causes anyone else to do anything. But then we still do all the karma because of the prakriti or the triguna or whatever. So who created this prakriti or triguna? I mean, didn't the Lord do that? Then isn't He actually making us do things? I mean,
yeah, the Lord Himself has created the prakriti. He Himself has become, He is the Lord. He is the prakriti, He is the people within the prakriti, and He makes the people act according to His prakriti and all those things. To give an example again, a Vedantic example, you are dreaming. You are dreaming that you are driving a car, and you have employed a driver in your dream, you have a car, and you sat down in the back seat, and your driver is driving, and he is driving very badly. Oh. Who created the driver who is driving very badly? Tell me. This is one explanation. The whole thing from the highest point of view, the problem with your questioning is, you are putting your one foot here and one foot there. From this, put both feet here and say, it is the Lord who has created, and we don't know why He created, but He knows why and what is the best way. If you are there, then the problem itself doesn't arise. So there is no what is called two-footed answers in this world. This is the truth. Yeah. Ready. See? That is the only reality.